Welcome to Ramblings from a Loft, a podcast without a theme, recorded in my loft. The whole day went really well, with a lot of help from my wife. Welcome to the latest Ramblings from a Loft. Of course, there was the funeral to organise. Dad had had the foresight, when my mother died, to purchase the plot in the graveyard next to her. My mum had always wanted a green burial, so we had had her buried in a wicker coffin at the nearest green burial ground, which, as it turned out, was near Olney in Northamptonshire, the county that she was born in. This then, of course, was where Dad was going. We went back to the same funeral director. Funnily enough, they'd not been back to the burial ground since, and had to do another dummy run to see how long it would take to get there, as you can't just look it up on Google, as they don't have a setting for hearse. Turned out that one of the pallbearers knew my dad from going to the same church a few years earlier, and his daughter works in the mortuary at the hospital, so she knew Dad as well. We had been in contact with the minister at the church that my dad went to whilst he was in hospital, as they were all keen to know how he was doing, and they were devastated when he died. She, having known him for quite a number of years, was more than happy to do a short family-only burial and then do a Thanksgiving service at the church later. All we had to do was pick some hymns and readings and sort out the order of service. We had the burial, and the sun came out halfway through. We then went to the same pub restaurant for lunch that we had gone to after Mum's burial. And yes, I found the receipt for it in my dad's stuff. The whole day went really well. Both services were very good. All except for someone online that I think had been left to watch it but wasn't on mute and had no idea how to go on mute. So every now and then you could hear them talking. But apart from that, with a lot of help from my wife, we sorted out the Thanksgiving service, choosing hymns and readings, finding the version of the hymn you want with the right words online. We found the necessary picture of my dad and mum and then arranged it. I'd done my mum and my father-in-law's orders of service, so I had a couple of templates to work with. I bought the card, secured the use of a photocopier and a long-armed stapler. We printed and compiled all of the orders of service, delivered most of them to the minister for distribution on the day, and kept a few back so that I could post them to a few old friends of my dad's that I knew would not be able to come, as they lived many miles away or were not well enough to travel. One was a cousin of my dad that lives next door to the Eden Project down in Cornwall. She sent me an email to say thank you and added a little bit of family news which I had been able to add to my tree. I was a bit lacking on her side of the family, so we have exchanged a few emails now, and I have been quite keenly getting on with family history again. So the fun begins. Clearing out your parents' house. Being able to get rid of all that stuff that you've been itching to get rid of for ages. All those James Patterson novels. James Bond films on VHS. Being able to go through the kitchen cupboards and ditching all of the out-of-date food without any argument. All the bills, paperwork and receipts that are way more than 10 years old. For weeks now, I've been making at least one trip a week to the tidy tip with a car full of stuff. I've been donating to the local charity shops almost in rotation so that none of them gets fed up with me. Just wait until I start on the garage and the shed. Oh yeah, I have. The other week, I left a great pile of stuff, including a steel cabinet, some racking, a kid's bike, and various other metal items out for the scrap metal man, which he duly took. Within days of putting them online, I've sold his stairlift, his beaten-up old trailer, and I got a good price for his nearly new rise and recline chair. He'd only had it 5 weeks. Still, the loft is now empty, and as I'm going through the shed and the garage, I'm trying to sort out what of his tools, etc., I can make use of, and what I can take to a charity that sends tools to Africa. The question then arises, what to keep and what to throw? I know people that have kept clothes for years and years, just as a reminder, because no one is going to wear them. Others, it seems, get something like a favourite jumper or a cardigan and get it made into a cushion cover and keep that as a reminder and get rid of the rest. The problem is, the more you keep, the more that your children will have to get rid of when you go. Or, if you move house, you've got more to sort through when you move. I've tried to keep as little as possible. Some small keepsakes or mementos, medals or awards that they either won through pastime or work. I found 3 life-saving awards that my mum got. Then there are the photographs. Sorting through them, throwing away all the days out to who knows where, the pictures of hills and fields, pictures of your parents' friends that you never met and you only knew the first names of, countless pictures of your dad asleep in the chair, weddings of people you don't know, dozens of shots at weddings of people you do know, family weddings and weddings of people you know are not together and have since married someone else. The bin has gotten quite full with unwanted photos. Then, of course, there are the old black and white photos that haven't got a name on the back. And are auntie and uncle someone or other? Is that my granddad when he was young or my great-granddad? Will some sad relative who's researching the family tree be interested, or can I ditch it without telling anyone? If I give them to my aunt, what will her children do with them when she dies? So I've kept them and put them in a box so that I can slowly but surely go through them, scan them and try and put a name and an approximate date on the back. Don't get me started on sorting out bank and building society accounts. Premium bonds, pensions, etc. Most of which is quite simple. There is a thing called Tell Us Once. You go online, you fill in a form with your name, address, national insurance number, stuff like that. Tick the boxes of the people you want to tell, for instance, the local council, HMRC, DVLA, and they will sort it all out. You still have to claim back the car tax and swap the ownership yourself, but that's easy. Utilities. Some have been great, made it so easy, others less so. Of course he'd changed his phone provider 6 weeks before he died and signed up to a new 2-year deal, paid a year's advanced rental, which of course is non-refundable, and you have to pay a penalty for stopping the contract early. Thanks, Dad. You ring up all the charities whose mailing list he's on, or he's a member of. Please take him off the list. Please don't send his renewal notice. You still get the quarterly magazines and the new membership card, even though the bank account is closed and they haven't had the money. Although it has virtually stopped now, but I do have to go round at least once a week. Not to check the post, but as a condition of the house insurance, as there's no one in the house. That was one of the easy ones. Well, thank you very much for listening, and I do hope you'll join me again soon for more Ramblings from a Loft.